If you're playing cricket with 30,000 people watching, I can't hear a thing.
Hmm.
I'm just so, like, I've got tunnel vision. I'm just thinking about what I'm doing in that moment.
Jimmy Anderson there on this week's Full Disclosure. And, I mean, it's a lovely thing if you're a fan of humans, not just of cricket. You're going to have to trust me on that one. Delighted to tell you that Lewis Goodall is standing in for me all next week while I enjoy a richly deserved holiday. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the brand new LBC app, where you can, of course, stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion, put your news categories in the order that you want, as well as pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts, including, of course, Full Disclosure. Download the all-new official LBC app for free from your app store now. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick at four, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you very much, James. We have a lot of court action today. Paul Doyle has been in court over the Liverpool football parade incident that injured almost 80 people. We'll have a report. Russell Brand has been in court as well. Two Jewish boys have been attacked, one of them still in hospital, and a Jewish-run business has been vandalised and defaced with fake blood. Red paint, essentially. Both of these took place in London, so we'll have a report on those. Talk about ADHD and the lack of diagnoses of it. Millions waiting. Are you one of the millions waiting? That's at three. But I want to start with Robert Jenrick's antics. He's got some cheek blaming lawlessness on Sadiq Khan, hasn't he? But he's right, though. It is a disgrace. What brought us to this point, I wonder, Mr. Jenrick?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, the man accused of driving a car into people at Liverpool's title parade on Monday has appeared in court. 53-year-old Paul Doyle has been charged with several offences, including causing GBH with intent following the collision. He'll appear at Liverpool Crown Court later. Russell Brand has pleaded not guilty to charges of rape and sexual assault. The 49-year-old actor and comedian appeared at Southwark Crown Court this morning. LBC's Fraser Knight is there.
The five charges relate to four different women with allegations that Russell Brand assaulted them between 1999 and 2005. In the courtroom, he pleaded not guilty to all of the charges and a provisional trial date was set for June next year. Fraser Knight, LBC, Southwark Crown Court.
The BBC has been ordered to pay former Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams damages after he won a libel case. He accused the broadcaster of defamation by alleging he sanctioned the killing of a former party official, which he denies. The High Court in Dublin ordered the BBC to pay £84,000, saying it did not act in good faith. LBC has learnt that children as young as 14 are being investigated over the sale of knives on social media. Police say the weapons are being sold to other young people on apps like Snapchat. LBC's Andy Hughes joined officers as they searched a property in London.
I found in 14 and 16 year olds' bedroom, and mum's give them to us to destroy
because
they're completely legal. Mum didn't know they're in the house, so that's why she's given them up and given them to us to destroy.
Snapchat says it removes illegal content and works with law enforcement agencies. You can watch Andy's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app now. And figures released by Transport for London reveal the number of people evading fares has fallen slightly. It fell to 3.5% of passengers last year, down from 3.8% the year before, costing around £130 million. Yesterday, the Shadow Justice Secretary, Robert Jenrick, posted a video of him confronting fare dodgers and called for TfL to take it more seriously. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 60 points at 87.70. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather largely dry with sunny spells. A few showers will develop in South and East Scotland and Northern Ireland. Cloudy with some patchy light rain in South Wales, a high of 25 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
Got an unexpected message, phone call or email that claims to be from HMRC? Take care. It could be a criminal pretending to be us. To protect yourself, never rush to share personal information or part with your money. Learn to recognise signs of a scam, such as being put under pressure to share bank details. And if something seems fishy, report it to HMRC straight away by searching HMRC Scams on gov.uk. Protect, recognise, report.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. I'm going to focus a lot, not entirely, but a lot on criminality and alleged criminality today. Not least a couple of significant court cases happening, as I mentioned just a few moments ago. We'll get a report from Liverpool and the court hearing for Paul Doyle, who's accused in relation to those dreadful events in Liverpool on Monday evening. And we'll get an update on the Russell Brand court hearing as well. But I want to focus this hour at least, and maybe into the next, depending on the direction you take us in, really, because you're in charge around here, on the kind of criminality and lawlessness that you are seeing that seems to be going unpunished and sometimes is clearly right in front of you going unpunished. What's prompted this conversation is Robert Jenrick and his video, which I'm sure lots of people who get information from social media will have seen. You can see it on the new LBC app. He's just explained, I'll explain briefly what it is if you haven't seen it yet, to make a point about fare dodging and lawlessness. And you'll have heard that report in the news bulletin there about the rate of fare dodging going down on TfL. But still a problem, still a big problem. It's just one example, though. I don't want to focus just on that, just on TfL. It's one example of kind of day-to-day lowish level lawlessness that shows you clearly that there is a sense amongst lots of people that the rules don't apply to them and that they will get away with stuff. They will get away with it. He went on to the tube at Stratford, I think it was, and filmed and watched and challenged people who were just fare dodging, just jumping over the turnstiles or walking straight through open turnstiles. And the staff weren't doing much about it. We learned today that they're advised not to tackle people if they think there's a danger to them if they do. And again, I can understand to some degree the wisdom of that advice because you never know what's going to come back at you. But again, that in itself, I think, is a bit of an admission that we are too afraid to stand up for the law and too afraid to stand up for civilised behaviour and too afraid to say to people who don't pay when we do or who steal from shops when we pay for the things we get in shops or who don't push and shove other people when they do or don't hurt other people when they do, getting away with it. And it does stick in the craw. And while Robert Jenrick's instincts on this are right, it's pretty clear he's doing it for political capital, and it's pretty clear that in terms of who's caused what, he and his Conservative colleagues haven't got a leg to stand on, really, when you look at crime and punishment. You just have to look at, you know, the years and years of policing experience that's been lost, 800 police stations lost, hundreds of courtrooms lost, thousands of probation officers lost when they were in power. They added fewer than 500 prison places, we learned from Shabana Mahmood and that press conference she held a couple of weeks ago, and she was warning us about the prison places crisis. So he hasn't really got a leg to stand on, but have a listen to some of what he was illustrating.
Excuse me, do you think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back through the barrier and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay? You can say f*** off as much as you want. But everyone else has to pay. Are you carrying a knife, do you say? Nearly 1 in 25 people using London's public transport aren't paying for it. So there's 8 officers down there, but 1 minute away, that gate's wide open. It's also just annoying watching so many people break the law and get away with it.
Or at least most of it.
Right, should we go over here to these guys here? Excuse me, gents.
Hello, hello.
You're on camera, mate. You're bang to rights.
Just step to the side.
All right, thanks very much, guys. It's the same with bike theft, phone theft, tool theft, shoplifting, drugs in town centres, weird Turkish barber shops. It's all chipping away at society. The state needs to reassert itself and go after lawbreakers.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong, is he, about how annoying it is? But the idea that he's some kind of instinctive crime fighter and he and his party were crime fighters, it's for the birds, really, isn't it? But what I want to get from you is a true picture of what you face. I know what I face, where I live and where I work. I know what I see. Sometimes you're facing it personally, but sometimes you're just seeing it around you. And there's no doubt in my mind that there is significantly more impunity and lawlessness around. No doubt in my mind at all. What do you see? What are you facing? And where does it leave you feeling? I read this morning in, I think it was the Telegraph, half of Class A drug users are let off by police without punishment. 48% of people caught in possession of hard drugs like cocaine and heroin are let off without any criminal sanction. This is, they get their data from the Home Office. And only a third of Class A drug possession offences resulted in a charge. They were handed mostly community resolution, which, again, you know, we can have a conversation about whether we think that's a good thing or not. But we aren't handling it. Is pretty clear. Some elements of criminality we really aren't handling. Why aren't we? And what are you seeing? And what do you want to see done about this? Because we know resources are limited. We were hearing it just the other day from Sir Mark Rowley of the Metropolitan Police. What do you see? And what's the solution, do you think? 0345 6060 973. The number to text, as ever, is 84850. James Treadwell joins me for a few minutes before I get to your calls. Professor of Criminology at the University of Staffordshire. Good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Sheila.
This video, I mean, don't want to linger on it too much because it isn't just about train fares, this conversation. It's about much wider things than that, much broader things than that. But it, I mean, the first thing I thought was, you know, power to you. You're revealing something that is clearly true. But you know, have you looked at your own record is what I was thinking when I saw it as well.
I think a lot of people did think that, but certainly the video's tapped into the mood of the nation because, you know, over a million views now. And I think, as you described for yourself, and I have it too, there is now a palpable sense in the public out there that the law-abiding and legitimate are being disadvantaged, and the rights and needs of those who don't follow the rules are being promoted and recognised far, far too much.
Or just allowed. It's not even about favouring them. It's just almost acting as though they're not there.
Absolutely. And I've been talking for some time about how we, in effect, really, including under the Conservative government, but it started before then, we have essentially decriminalised whole swathes of crime. There's almost this sort of perception of don't sweat the low-level stuff. But the problem is the low-level stuff does lead to the high-level stuff. And generally, those who don't abide by the law and break the law, criminal. And they're criminal in lots of different contexts. And if you have a system where there is no effective deterrence, no enforcement, and that is sadly what we've got to, you know, this is what's going to happen. I also think there's a really, really important discussion to be had at and around this as well, which isn't just about the level of resources that go into state institutions, but the power and the way in which state institutions operate as well. And one of the things that frustrates me about the discussion, you know, is if you listen to police officers, particularly out and around what's going on, many rank and file police officers want to tackle crime, whether that crime be fare evasion, or they feel increasingly frustrated that doesn't seem to be part of the remit or the mantra of those leading their own organisations or those in politics. And actually, those police officers that want to do that very often face the consequences. And, you know, we see that today. Police Constable Perry Lathwood, long forgotten now, arrested because of the way he was later subsequently cleared. But he was initially convicted in courts and fined for handcuffing someone that he suspected of fare evasion. Today, we've seen an award-winning police officer, Constable Lorne Castle, has won National Neighbourhood Police Officer of the Year previously, dismissed for gross misconduct because of the force that he used against a young man that he was arresting. You know, lots and lots of police officers expressing real outrage about that. There's a feeling even in the criminal justice system amongst prison officers, police officers, probation officers, those you speak of, that they're now completely unsupported by anyone in mainstream politics.
But it was interesting as well, and I have referred back to this press conference a lot recently, because the one that Shabana Mahmood gave about the prisons crisis, because I have to say, it kind of alarmed me. I was watching it slightly open-mouthed, really, even though I knew elements of what she was saying already. But it was clear that that was the government ringing an alarm bell, wasn't it? It was the government saying, we haven't got the probation services to deal with people outside prison. We haven't got the prison places to put people into prison. So we're going to have to, sadly, get more people out into the community. When we do that, we haven't got the time yet to build up those probation services. Let's hope they do build up those probation services, but certainly they won't be doing it in the next 6 months or a year.
But so absolutely that. But they're also being fundamentally dishonest with the public about things like their SDS 40 scheme, where they're saying, oh, yeah, but we're going to be OK. We'll manage this safely.
SDS 40?
The SDS 40 scheme was the early release mechanism that they triggered to free up
prisons. Operation Early Dawn, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And essentially, they kind of did that with this, you know, oh, but it will be all right and it will have no detrimental impact into communities. And it absolutely will, you know, when you decarcerate, when you let a large number of people out of prison, those people will go back to committing more and more offences.
Unless you have incredibly effective community control of them. And we don't have we don't have effective community control.
We have no community control of them. We have no monitoring. If you look at how they were kind of suggesting that they were going to monitor and control
digital
people,
prison, yeah.
And tagging companies that have been shown even recently to be completely asleep at the wheel, who in effect don't do anything for the vast amounts of money that they're given, you know, from public finances, and then aren't held to account for their failings, you know. And again, I think this all plays into that perception that actually, you know, the people who do things the right way are not those that see the benefit. Continually, we reward the wrong people, we reward failure, and that palpable sense now in the public, the growing frustrations, you know, I see it all the time. It isn't just fairer evasion,
no, it
isn't. It's driving standards, it's, you know, it's dog fouling, it's the little things that very often concern the public.
Well, and also I was going to say, and people mock me for this, but you know, the whole question of how people misuse their phones in public, whether it's in I was in a hospital waiting room the other morning, the receptionist had her phone on playing music, a doctor came through to get some water and was in the middle of a live conversation, not a medical one, just a conversation with a friend by the sounds of it. I could hear both ends of the conversation. this is a hospital waiting room. Happens on trains, happens on planes, you know, you name it, it's everywhere. And I and others who say, excuse me, can you just... And I would have thought it's obvious what I mean when I say, could you just... You're treated like the weirdo.
Yeah, and lots of people, of course, very, very intimidated and therefore and don't want to speak up. But their experience, their everyday experience is
that life's unpleasant.
Anxiety, worry, and that seems to be growing and growing and growing, you know. And of course, for very often, you know, for the people who are, you know, the people who are the most exposed to the problems as well. And this is one of the interesting things about the Gemeric video. And I think one of the reasons that it's connected with people is that sense that, you know, for those in those elites, those in positions of power and influence, you know, from Uber and Ocado, you don't see the shoplifting and you don't see the crime on public transport. You know, you live very, very sheltered and detached lives. And I think there is also some truth in that, you know, the voices of experience, the people who are saying it's bad,
this is what I live with,
worse, and this is what I live with, are downplayed. And we even see that, for example, in the in Transport for London today, you know, the cynic in me, that it's today that they then release figures which are completely fictional, made up in reality, that say, you know, fair
evasion is falling. In what way are they fictional?
I mean, you can prove anything that you like with statistics, and we've long seen that through with all crime
statistics. Well, I mean, we'll give them a right to reply to that, because they will say they're counting them legitimately, of course.
Yeah, of course they will. But you know, at best, I think you have to concede that the fact that, you know, that they are simple estimations of lost revenue based on recorded footfall. They don't record when someone jumps over the barriers, and that happens frequently.
I see it frequently.
But not being recorded or captured, okay. You know, so it wouldn't happen.
Apart from by Robert Jenrick, which people can see on the... I have to leave it there, James, but thank you very much indeed for joining me. James Treadwell, Professor of Criminology at the University of Staffordshire. If you want to take a look at that video, please do at the LBC app. Your calls as well. What are you seeing out there that is a change, or in the last few years has been a change? I certainly do where I live. It is not what it was. It's not... it doesn't feel as safe, as easy as it used to, you know what I mean? Where you can have a sense of ease around there. Travelling on public transport doesn't feel as safe. People are getting away with blue murder. That's the truth of it. And we're about to empty prisons. It's not good. 0345 6060 973. What about your community? You can text 84850. It's 120.
This is LBC.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £200 per couple with My Jet 2. So escape to sunny favourites like Gran Canaria, Crete and Costa Blanca and get 22 kilograms of baggage included. Book summer now from London Luton Airport with just a £60 deposit per person. Jet 2 Holidays. Package holidays you can trust. Astronautical protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £185 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Thank you, faraway person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Subject to currency fluctuations, the jackpot is capped at €250 million. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
This is LBC with Sheila Fogarty. Call 0345 6060 973. Alexa, send a comment to LBC. Text 84850.
We saw, didn't we, after the riots last year, how where there is a will, there is a way. Where there is a will to hunt down, charge and prosecute, investigate, charge and prosecute people for criminality, it happens. We've seen it. We've seen it in numbers across the country after those riots in the summer. So where there is a will to tackle criminality, there is clearly a way. And yet so often individual acts of criminality these days, we are now, I think, expected to just absorb that stuff around us. And I do include antisocial behaviour in this, the phone stuff as well. I think it is the very thin end of the same wedge. It's not criminality, obviously, but I think it should be. But of course it's not criminality, but it's that whole who gives a. I don't care if you're discomforted. I don't care if everybody on this carriage is discomforted or annoyed or irritated by the fact that I'm playing my music loudly or having seven conversations during the course of my journey. I don't care. You'll find that the world is all about me. That's the attitude out there in an awful lot of people. And I think it is fueled by a knowledge that the state stopped caring about this stuff to a degree, or realised it couldn't contain the scale of it on the money it was prepared to spend on it. Because, you know, when the stops were pulled out by the Home Office, by the Prime Minister, by the police given funding for what they needed to tackle those arrests and the criminality of the riots, it was there. It was there, and we saw justice being done. And the strong message being sent then was, you know, you create mayhem in your community, there will be consequences, and there will be consequences quickly. You will be jailed if you're found guilty. And if you're filming yourself doing these things, well, you are spectacularly stupid as a starting point, but you will be arrested, you will be charged, and you will be jailed. Those are good messages to give to people who turn our communities into a complete mess. And, not just the physical community, but the people in it feeling less safe, the people in it being injured, police officers being injured, others being injured, hotels being set on fire. We show that where there is a will against crime, there is a way. But too often on things like the stuff that Robert Jenrick was illustrating and shoplifting and, you know, I mean, ask any woman, you know, criminality of harassment and assault, sexual assault and sexual harassment and routine and routinely ignored. Even while it's happening to you, it's routinely ignored sometimes with people around you. It really is a growing, I think, culture of impunity. Not total, obviously. Be foolish to say that. But there is a growing culture of impunity in this country. And I think it's a really, really dangerous moment. James has called from Tooting. Hello, James.
Hi, Sheila. I used to go through East Croydon station every morning at sort of commuting times. Mm. And what I experienced an awful lot was people barging past quite aggressively. But a lot of the time, you know, you could actually say that the amount of people pushing past and jumping the queue was probably, 70 to 30%, you know. So it was more people were pushing past at certain times of the morning than were actually paying. And it was really, you know, very difficult, especially when we were paying about £3,500 a year for a season ticket. If my partially sighted mother was going through and somebody aggressively pushed past like that, it would actually put her off travelling. So it's a real concern.
And you see this routinely, do you, where you are?
I used to, yeah. I go by different routes these days, yeah.
But what do we do about it? Because unless there is sufficient policing and unless we build environments like transport to really push that message and then staff it properly, it's just people are going to keep doing it. We're just going to have... a little mini Wild West running along normal civilised society.
I hear you. I mean, sometimes the police would have a concerted effort there on certain evenings or sometimes.
Yeah.
I never saw them in the morning. But and then you just see all these people just doubling back as soon as they see the police and go out one of the other exits or, you know, just go on to the next station and jump out there. But even when they caught somebody, they were kind of just say, don't do it again and let them go. So, as far as I was concerned, it was completely toothless.
And it is dispiriting, isn't it, for those of us who don't behave like that?
Very much.
But it's more than that. That's the, in a sense, the least of it. It's bad enough, but it's the least of it. I just think that, you know, if you leave, as my guest James was saying, you know, if you leave the small stuff, the supposedly small stuff, and if you think people aren't going to get hurt, physically hurt, by somebody's increasing sense of impunity in the area they live in or the places they travel, you're a mug, because the more somebody thinks I'm the king of a castle and I get away with everything, the worse their behaviour will get.
That's just right. Totally agree.
What do we do? More coppers? Is it more coppers? Is it more than that?
Oh gosh, it's a really tough one. I think the problem is that we've got to this stage. How do we undo that? You know, I think people need to have more, higher morals, and they've got to really understand what the effect of society is for this sort of stuff. But to be honest, I don't know if a lot of people will care, which is even more depressing, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't care, but I also think a lot of people are afraid. I think a lot of adults now are afraid, and they might be afraid very silently. But I think they're afraid. They're afraid of children. I've seen it. When I challenged a child on the train about phones, a teenager, you can see people thinking, oh, my God, where's this going to go? Oh. And the answer is, my way. I'm the adult. You know, it's just, you know, it's the fear you see is part of it, I think. And I understand the fear. I understand that, you know, you don't know how a situation is going to go. On a train or something, you don't, because we see so many awful things happening. But I think it's got to be, it can't just be down to the police. It can't even be down to the government. But we have to just be frank about the amount of policing we've lost, the style of policing we've lost. We have to be frank about parents working day and night and children not having the kind of parenting that, that they maybe need. We have to be frank about the degree to which schools, some schools, are completely off the rails. We've got to be frank about it, because it's just not, it isn't helping anybody if we're not. That's the problem. It doesn't help anybody if we're not. So, thank you, James. Simon has called from Orpington. Hi, Simon.
Hi, afternoon, Sheila. Yeah, it's, you know, the lack of probation, lack of prison, you know, prison places, lack of police and all the rest of it. But I think a large part of it is down to the politicians and the way that they conduct themselves. Because, you know, we can talk, well, we can talk about one, mainly politician, Boris Johnson, and the amount of law-breaking that he got away with, and especially during the COVID period. You know, setting the rules, but then breaking them. Setting the rules for us, like the general public, keep 2 metres apart, no gatherings, no parties. And while we were adhering to the rules set by the government, they were having parties, spaffing up the war and sticking 2 fingers up to the general public. Mm. So I think a large part of this comes down to, you know, we talk about Boris Johnson, but, you know, there's others. You know, there's a gentleman, I can't quite remember his name.
Robert Quartang.
Quartang, who tried to get away with his taxes. And then when a Sky reporter...
I think you're confusing, unless you know something that I don't, but I think you're referring to Nadeem Zahawi, a situation that he ultimately rectified. But I'll leave it there, Simon. Thank you, Simon. In Orpington, more of your calls after the news headlines. We'll also hear from Liam Gotting, our reporter in Liverpool. He's been at the Magistrates Court in the city this morning for the first hearing in the case of Paul Doyle, accused of driving his car into a crowd of people after Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. That's all coming up in the next few minutes. And your calls on 0345 6060 973. What kind of lawlessness do you see as you go about your business in the UK today? It's 1:31. Let's get the headlines from Amelia Cox.
The man accused of driving into people at Liverpool's Premier League title parade has appeared at the city's Crown Court. 53-year-old Paul Doyle, who is charged with several offences, including GBH with intent, is due to enter a plea in August. The former comedian and actor Russell Brand has pleaded not guilty to charges of rape and sexual assault. The allegations against the 49-year-old are said to have taken place against four women between 1999 and 2005. And former Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams has won his libel case against the BBC. The High Court in Dublin ordered the broadcaster to pay £84,000 in damages. LBC weather, largely dry with sunny spells. A few showers will develop in south and east Scotland and Northern Ireland. Cloudy with some patchy light rain in South Wales. A high of 25 degrees.
LBC.
The Steakhouse Stack, with two layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like? The Steakhouse Stack. It's McDonald's and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
Search Kayak for great deals on Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire. With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself.
The British Red Cross is here to welcome people fleeing the conflict in Ukraine.
We're here to help people to safety when storms hit.
We're here to show anyone struggling that someone cares.
Hiya, that's a huge help.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Get your own UK-based account manager, a beekeeper, for support with PensionBee. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco, every little helps.
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
Let's get an update from Liam Gotting, LBC's reporter, who's been at Liverpool Magistrates Court today. The first hearing today, Liam, in relation to those events in Liverpool on Monday evening, Paul Doyle appearing in court.
Yes, that's right, Sheila. He's appeared in Magistrates Court this morning and also Crown Court into this afternoon. Now, Paul Doyle, he looked incredibly emotional as he walked into the dock of the Magistrates Court this morning at around 10:30, wearing a black suit and a white shirt. His voice wobbled as he spoke to confirm his name and address, and he spent the rest of the hearing sat with his hands in front of him and his head bowed, looking at the floor. Now, during that hearing, the district judge told Mr. Doyle that six of the seven charges he faces can only be dealt with in Crown Court. He then appeared at Liverpool Crown Court just over an hour ago. He is charged with one count of dangerous driving, two counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, two counts of wounding with intent, and two counts of attempting to cause grievous bodily harm. Now, a provisional trial date, should it get to that stage, was set for the 24th of November this year. The court was told that a trial could last between 3 to 4 weeks, but ultimately Mr. Doyle will next appear at Liverpool Crown Court on the 14th of August to enter a plea.
Thank you very much indeed, Liam. Liam Gotting, LBC's reporter. It was made clear that the charges that are before the court today might change because it's an ongoing investigation with lots of footage to go through and still witnesses to speak to as well. And you heard those dates listed there by Liam, or listed by the judge, but reported by Liam Gotting there, LBC's reporter at Liverpool Magistrates Court. I want to bring into our conversation on criminality the whole drugs element of this. It's not the only driver, but it is a huge driver of crime in this country, isn't it? And we learned today that half of Class A drug users are let off by police without any punishment at all. A good number are handed community resolutions, which don't result in a criminal record and only require an offender to accept responsibility for their crime, or were let off in what we're told is the public interest. Does it feel like the public interest to you? In your experience, how much are drugs at the heart of the criminality that you see? I mean, I use the example, I've said it before to you, that in the street I grew up on, absolutely lovely place to grow up, two rows of houses with a big stretch of trees in the middle. We used to play in those trees all day, climb them, run around them, you know, use the hedges around the edge as hurdles, you name it. It was great, great fun. And there was stuff at the end of the road we could use as well, playing fields, tennis courts, just a normal street, believe it or not, tennis courts and playing fields at the end of them. Those are the days. And by the time I was going back and forth in the last decade of my mum's life, open drug dealing happening directly opposite our front gate. So, you know, if I had young kids in that house now, they wouldn't be doing what I was doing in that street all those years ago. It's just a completely transformed society, completely transformed. And the area where I went to school, oh, I always felt very safe indeed. Years later, went to report on gang crime there, two individual crimes, one postcode number between them, you know, differing between them, and ended up having a gun pointed at me and the team I was with. And glass bottles were being thrown at people while people with pushchairs just pushed their toddlers or babies past through the same space where glass was being pelted down on people for fun, because it was funny, ha-ha, you know? And that's in the space of, what, half a generation, that change? What's brought that about? What's brought that about? That a fairly idyllic, safe childhood, the exact same locations, the area I went to school and the very street I grew up on, you wouldn't be letting your kids play out there all day. Young kids, you wouldn't be letting them play out there all day. Not a chance. Not because of anything you're making up or fearful will happen, but for stuff that's literally happening in front of your eyes. Drug deals on the streets right in front of you. Kids doing it, teenagers, you know, black hood, bike, all of that. What role do drugs play in all of this? This lawlessness and impunity, huge amounts of impunity. And that isn't to criticise police when I say that, because they have got their work cut out. And it isn't, the answer to this isn't just policing by any means. But what has happened and what do we do to undo some of it? We'll never undo all of it. Sorry to disappoint you, but we won't. But what can we do to alleviate this? Because it's pretty grim. Henry in Upton. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Sheila. Good to speak to you again. Yes, you described it perfectly, Sheila. It's I was in the Met Police for 16 years in London, and we had it was a great experience for me in London. You got to know all the youngsters and all the people who commit crime, and you're trying to break down barriers, and it worked. And you know, we had money for youth clubs and going into schools. But unfortunately, this is all dying away now. A lot of officers, you know, don't like doing it. I've spoken to a lot. We don't like doing it. And this is what you need. You need that interaction with young youth and just getting to know them. And as you say today, it's just so many drugs on the streets. And they're fearful for, you know, the law because of what they do. They just do it openly. And you definitely need breakdown with youngsters. You need to get in there early. As I say,
that's why I say it isn't just a police matter by any means.
No, definitely not.
And it can't all be dumped on teachers either. A lot of it is being.
Mm. There's funding as well. We need funding from organisations to pull together and try and get these kids, give them something to do. They just hanging around street corners. And this is where they're getting into trouble. And they're being approached by street dealers. And it's cheap money for them. And they think, oh, this is brilliant. They've got £50 here doing that. So, and then they just get involved. And unfortunately, some of them get on to the drugs themselves.
The thing is, you've also got to make sure that kids, you know, I'm not talking about handing them opportunity, because sometimes you've got to, you know, show them opportunity and help them be able to go and get them. But you've got to give people. I there wasn't a moment in my childhood or teens or early 20s, there wasn't a moment when I doubted that the world out there had opportunities in it for me. Mm. Not a moment. Mm. And that isn't true of every child.
No, definitely not. No, there's a lot to be discarded, and you've got to treat them all equal. And some people just, you know, say, oh, he's a brighter kid. But we had so many in the youth clubs and school that, you know, they're getting a good chance. We just treated them equal. We didn't, you know, treat someone better than anybody else. And we just listened to them. And that's another thing today. A lot of people don't listen. I know it's hard, and some people haven't got the concentration. Some officers I've spoken to, they didn't like it at all, and I felt quite sad about that.
And you enjoyed that element of the job, did you?
Oh, thoroughly enjoyed it. I miss it. I miss it so badly.
Oh.
Yeah, I really do. It's it's good, and I used to go along walking the streets, and people knew my name, and they'd come up to speak to you, the mums and dads with their families, and it was, you know, it was great memories, and it needs to be like that today, you know. And I think some officers don't like doing that sort of thing. They don't like the interaction. But it's part of the job. It's making a big difference to people's lives.
It is part of the job, and it's a really important thing that police aren't only experienced as a force. They need to be experienced as a service, so that when they use force, we trust that they're doing it for a good reason. I think that build-up of a relationship is important. Thank you, Henry. Thanks. Michael's call from Brentwood. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Sheila. I think you're right what you just said about the police, but I don't think that happens. I think we have a real distrust of police at the moment. But what I wanted to say, I'm no fan of Jenrick. I really am not. And his party had 14 years to deal with this, and suddenly he's got a cause, but he didn't have it when he was in power. But on his video, there was a gang of people, 8 of them or so, whose action job is to stop people jumping the barriers, who were standing around talking, but he had to take a ticket jumper over to them.
Yeah,
what were they doing? Why are they not doing their actual job? Because it's not just costing us, we're paying them for not catching.
I saw that too, but just to be fair to them, it's possible they were doing something else related to their job over there at that point. But I would have thought
eight of them together.
Yeah. I would have thought a presence on the turnstiles is essential.
And it's frustrating because you're thinking, well, no wonder they're doing it. The chances of being caught are not much more than zero. Mm. So, of course, they'll chance their arm. Those people should be at the barrier. There's a station, Billericay. Mm. Every single day there are ticket officers at Billericay. They pull every single person over who doesn't have a ticket. Yeah. And they're there every day. And now their ticket failures come through are a really small percentage because people know they're going to be there and they're going to get caught. So why aren't they just, if you're losing 150 million, spend an extra 30 million and make another 120 million profit.
Mm. And how does it make you feel just as a citizen who isn't going around breaking the law? Because I find it very dispiriting, the whole thing.
That's a good word. Dispiriting, it depresses me because I just think, you know, there's no care, concern, there's no society. When I was young, I didn't grow up in a posh area. We knew the local police officers, they came in and out of the school, and there were always people, and a lot of them were older people who were ex-army, who felt that they were part of society, and if something was going on, they had to step in and stop it. Yeah. If there were undesirables or people causing trouble, they would go and shout at those people. They would make it uncomfortable for them. Yeah. They would make them move. Now, those old people would be the ones who were arrested.
Yeah,
that's how it feels. Well, it seems backwards.
It does seem backwards. And I think as well, what we're talking about here, it might sound like a grand word for what we're talking about, but what we're talking about is civilization. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about, are we a civilized country or are we not? And it isn't just kids, by the way. We're focusing on young people, but that's where you fix it and get it right, I think. If you get kids right, you get adults right. But let's use the kid example because, you know, if you intervene early, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. If you intervene early and on smaller matters, show somebody that they need to show other people respect and indeed themselves by not being a criminal. You know, without my parents ever explicitly mentioning police, crime, self-respect, none of it. Then I can't think of a time they ever explicitly said anything to us about not committing a crime. You know, don't go out there and commit a crime or don't do this, don't shoplift. Not a second of it. What they did within the home and just, you know, with aunties and uncles and neighbours and out at parties and things, they made it clear one way or another that we had to conduct ourselves well. And I don't mean like the, you know, rigid Von Trapp family before Maria appeared on the scene. I mean just don't disrespect people. And it
you
was
knew
such,
what respect
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I did. And it was such a strong message imbued in a million different tiny, sometimes silent ways, i.e. a look, that you just knew that it wasn't on. And I often look back and think, you know, I've got five older brothers growing up in Liverpool in the 70s and, yeah, the 60s, 70s. Not once was a parent called to the school about them. Not once were they arrested or in trouble with the police. Not once. And these are all very different people, different characters, you know, different interests. Not once. And the answer as to why is our parents.
Yes. And I'm the eldest of five, four boys and a girl. And none of us, you know, we never had trouble at the school, never brought the police home to the door. There was never any problems in that way because our parents were strict. When you did something wrong, you were told that you had done... There wasn't beatings, there wasn't anything like that, but you were told you'd done wrong. You were told you'd upset your mum, which was the worst thing you could do. You know,
I mean, my parents weren't actually that strict, but that's why I think it's a miracle that, you know, they were so skilled, they still managed to make us all think, oh my God, imagine if you did that. What would your mum and dad say? You know, because we didn't just love them as our parents. We liked them and we wanted them to like us back, you know. And the idea that we would massively disappoint them was horrendous.
Yeah, in front of the neighbours. That was my mum's thing. Don't do that in front of the neighbours. And it sticks with you. Yeah. And it's such a little thing.
But it's
but
not.
You sort of
it's
understand.
It's not. Because
that
it's,
yeah, it's important.
It's, well, what it is, it's civilising you. That's why I use the word civilization. You civilize children and you civilize adults in, you know, mutually in lots of different ways, lots of small ways, which is why I think the phone thing being ignored is a mistake because it is uncivilized to just spill your own music or phone call into an area full of people, strangers in a public space. It's literally the definition of uncivilized. And we all just think that's fine now, apparently. And it's just the first step on a hideous, hideous staircase to nowhere. And it's how we got there and how we somehow improve things that I'm interested in. 0345-6060-973. Also keen to hear on your experience the role that drugs play in your community. and in the downfall of your community. 0345 6060, or indeed your family. 0345 6060 973. It's 1:48.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Dame Emily Thornberry, Chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, Labour MP in Islington as well, of course, joins me in the studio. Do you think we're moving on from the Brexit wars?
I think they probably don't care. I mean, I think that on the whole, those who wanted to leave are happy, those who didn't want to leave are not particularly happy, but everybody's kind of moved on.
Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Do you agree with him that they are using starvation as a weapon of war?
They say that they are not allowing food into Gaza in order to get the hostages back. I have to say, this is not the way to behave. They have to stop. This far-right government is behaving in the most appalling way, and there will be a reckoning.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver, and Daddy helped me make...
At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now I'm making a paper hot air balloon, and I even made a little brown basket, and I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mom, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
So, close your eyes, picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wix to design our new kitchen.
At Wix, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our spend and save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms and minimum spend apply.
At Morrisons, more card prices save you money on your shop. Like a 20-pack variety box of Walker's Classics All Meaty, regular price £4.85.
More card price.
£3.50. And Kenko's Smooth, Rich, Decaf or Gold Indulgence Instant Coffee, regular price £7.75.
More card price.
£6. Pay less with More Card.
Morrisons to shop at Morrisons.
Majority of stores. Online varies. Excludes Morrisons Daily More Card. App required. 18 plus. Kenko 195 to 200 grams. Off ends 1st of June.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Did you know you can get Santander cycles for 24 hours for £3.50? I spent the day feeling the morning breeze, rolling with mates, keep up, free wheeling.
For £3.50, you can get 24 hours of unlimited 60-minute rides on Santander Cycles. Download the Santander Cycles app to find your nearest docking station. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Pedal bikes only. Additional charges apply for e-bikes. Other T's and C's apply.
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
This is down to lack of community, says Emma. A lack of interaction, which includes a lack of groups for people of all ages to be part of, to attend. A lack of face-to-face contact. Self-serve tills. Machines replacing the people you would be interacting with every day. Some truth in that, I think, Emma. Jay has called from Saffron Walden. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Sheila. It's a bit rich from Robert Jenrick. His salary is about £85,000, and then he can hold another job, maybe three jobs. Then he's got a successful career. He can give up his job and walk out and go to GB News anywhere, earn his money, or maybe he's a rich family. I would rather he would have chased those guys, for instance, and asked their story, why they're doing it, instead of just doing these videos for far-right people, like to get angry for poor people. You know, that's why he chose London. So he's just showing London. You know, like these communities online, they don't like London. They know they always call it dirty. No one wants to go to London. And that's why he was doing it, chasing all these youngsters. He should have stopped and asked them why they've done it. What's their story behind it? Every day when I wake up in the morning, I look at my smart meter. It's £1 just for nothing I'm paying right now, right? I haven't used any electric. Maybe it's just not TV, what is it, like a fridge was working there. So have you seen the cost of living right now?
Yeah.
It's a bit really rich from him, honestly, just running around like an idiot and chasing all these youngsters. Mm. Well, I mean, for clickbait. So all he should have done is say, I'm Robert Jenrick on £85,000. I can afford this rail journey. I can go, like, that makes me angry, honestly. Have you seen the prices, how much they charge these railway companies? I would rather he went into the office of the CEO and said, why are you getting this salary? Get angry with him. Or go to this, to the water company saying, why are you overcharging people? Have you seen my bill for the water bill? And those people who calling you from 70s or saying, oh, it was a nice lifestyle. I was born in 80s. Yeah, it was exactly the same in Russia where I grew up, you know, like in the country, in communism. It was exactly the same like there. No crime. You could leave your door open. There were we live in a different society. We're not going to get it back.
But no, I'm not suggesting we do. But it's I'm not suggesting we should be living like it's the 70s. What I'm saying. Let me just say something, Jay, and I promise I'll come back to you. When you look back, it's not. I don't do it misty eyed and say, oh, if only everything's like that. That's not what I'm saying. Kids now and people now, adults now, I now face different things than I faced when I was a kid. Young families, like my parents were at the time, face different things than my mum and dad were. I'm not saying the world should be the same, but if you look at two distinct places, as I did, just as an example, right outside the gate of my family home, where I played safely and happily, routinely for years, and made great friends and had a hoot. Down at school, 3 miles away, perfect, really good fun, felt safe. Really different now, really different. And we have to track why. And it isn't just down to it. You're right. It isn't just down to individuals' behaviour. It's down to societal change. But we have to track that change.
No, I agree with you. Okay, that's different conversation. But in regards
to... it's part of the same
Robert Jenrick... No, but Robert Jenrick, cost of living crisis, he should have stood there and said, oh, I was the guy who gave those, like, a fast-track contracts for PPE. Remember that, Michelle Moon? I never chased her. They never talk about it. They don't talk about Nigel Farage went and earning money. He doesn't do... Oh, this is a darling of far right. He doesn't do his job. They don't talk about it. He's got 10 jobs. He earned it. He can just fly to London. He doesn't need to go on the public transport, right? That's people like struggling right now.
I know they are, Jay, we can't just say because you're struggling, it's okay to steal. My parents struggled.
No, but what?
They didn't steal.
Well, you need to know the story. I understand, but this is like a they wanted a small government and bigger. What's it saying? That's what they've done. They cut it down like Donald Trump.
They have.
Small government. That's the small government. That's what you're paying for, isn't it? There's no police. I see people chucking rubbish. I get angry. They have a McDonald's. They're just chucking. I'm driving like in the countryside. I can't look at it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my country where they used to chuck the rubbish. That's why I run away from there. And then what I'm saying is, this is like a third world country right now with the rubbish everywhere. They ate McDonald's, they just chuck it out of the coffee cups. Have you seen it? I mean, in the winter, you drive, it drives me nuts. Sorry.
I understand why it drives you nuts. I understand. I really do. Thank you very much, Jay. I can hear that you're exercised by it. Paul in Bromley. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Sheila. Nice to meet you.
I'm okay. Yes, thank you. I'm fine. Sorry, didn't ask me.
I was born in this country, just outside of London, and I'm horrified to see the way things are going at the moment. And I'll give you an example. I was on a train going to a concert last year, and I got on at Bromley, and there was these young boys opposite me talking about the concert, only 16-year-olds, something like that, and lovely boys. And then this fella got on the train at the next stop, told them to move off the seat, and then he proceeded to put newspaper all over the floor and start cutting up his drugs. And then everyone obviously was horrified at what was happening, but nobody said anything.
Do you know what drug it was?
Sorry?
Do you know what drug it was?
Yeah, it was weed. It was weed. It certainly wasn't. It was dark in colour.
Mm.
So it was. Right. It looked like it was weed. But I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's just horrendous what is going on. And people need to wake up and realise what's going on in this country, because we're in for trouble. We're in for a rough ride, I can tell you that.
We are. And I don't think civilisation is too strong a word to use about it, is it? We are allowing it to be diminished, I think, layer by layer.
We are. Well, let's just letting it happen.
Yeah, we are.
There's no control anymore, I don't think.
There's some. You know, we have to give credit to the people who are doing the hard work of trying to do the job of policing and teaching and raising kids. You know, the people are trying. But there are clear, deep social problems, including social divisions, but there's clear, deep social problems, child poverty, family poverty, you know, the numbers of people out of work, the mental health crisis that's probably flows in part, at least, from the pandemic. But there was a pretty serious one before that as well. And we know there's a big problem with mental ill health in this country that isn't addressed, sometimes to a deadly level, for both the person with the illness and sometimes other people at their hands. So we know there's a huge amount of social fabric problems. What are we going to do about it? And what role do drugs play in all of this?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 2 o'clock. The man accused of driving into a crowd during Liverpool's victory parade on Monday has appeared in court. 53-year-old Paul Doyle is facing charges including dangerous driving and GBV.